Hello, career competitor. This is Steve Mellor, as always, here to share with you some powerful conversation and some significant insights into what it means to optimize your career in pursuit of your optimal self. I am excited to be introducing our guest here shortly. But as always, let me draw your attention to careercompetitor.com, where you'll see right at the top of that homepage is a place where you can enter your email and become a part of my monthly subscription, my mid-monthly message, where I am just simply giving you that little nudge in the middle of the month to remember that whatever it was you set out to achieve with all that energy at the outset of the month, and whatever those lofty goals may be at the end of the month, that you're not going to lose sight of that journey in between. Become a part of my community today. Head to careercompetitor.com, enter your email, and look forward to my next mid-monthly message. Now, let's get right into the show. Hello there, and welcome into this episode of Career Competitor, where I am just excited to be going right back to the original mission of this show with our guest, Deontay Holden, who you're going to hear all about with his introduction here in a moment. But three things Deontay and I go into, amongst many more things, within this episode. We start with why our fears are able to propel us towards our potential. Secondly, we get into the reason we start with the why, and the constant work required to strengthen that why. And finally, you're going to learn why technique beats strength every time when pursuing success. So these three things and much more within this awesome conversation between myself and my NC State brother, Deontay Holden. And I'm excited for you all to enjoy this one. Our career competitor is the founder and owner of Law of Athlete, a platform dedicated to the holistic development of athletes by providing athletic-centric content, educational programming, community building, and brand partnerships. Our guest is also a former football player, having been a student athlete at the powerhouse that is my alma mater, NC State. But sports very much gave our guest the launch pad to hunt down their true passion. In the last 5 years, through the creation of their business, our guest has found a dynamic intersection where they can bring their passion of sports, culture, and business together as one, developing a unique skill set to serve the business and many others in how they go on about optimizing the platform they can create for themselves. I'm delighted to welcome in a fellow Wolfpacker that is Mr. Deontay Holden. Deontay, how are we doing?
I'm great, Steve. How you doing, my man?
So good. So good to be seeing you, to be having you on the show. Been looking forward to this one for a while now. We got to connect a few weeks back before recording this just to get to know one another a little bit and just hear what's going on in each other's worlds. And like I said, just been looking forward to this, because at the heart of this interview is why I started this podcast almost 6 years ago. It's having former athletes coming on that are doing what they're doing with the same characteristics, the same value, the same purpose that they once did as an athlete in whatever respective world they're doing it in now. So let's start with right where you're at today. What's going on with Law of Athlete, and just bring everywhere up to speed just about what you think we need to know about the mission that is Law of Athlete.
Thank you. Just to keep it real quick, we recently had partnered with NC State, our alma mater, you know, go Wolfpack. we had a program called Brand Athlete, where we really help athletes find their purpose. And just the self-discovery aspect, we realized that there was an identity crisis that athletes face, and we wanted to help solve that with this program, helping them go through, you know, a whole self-discovery curriculum, NIL education, and also professional development.
I love it. It's a purpose near and dear to my heart. It's something that I went through, and sadly went through badly when I used to be an athlete, and I came out of being an athlete long before I knew that my athlete career would be up. I was always struggling with a little bit of that identity issue of like, hey, some point, you know, as a swimmer, when I'm going to hang up the goggles and be done with this, what the heck does life look like? What is my purpose then? And so I'd love to start right there, because even if there's people listening that didn't necessarily come from elite athletics or even a background of athletics at all, we've all had that passion in life to where we know like, hey, there's going to be an end to this at some point. Maybe it's friendships, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's some other investment in your life, but there's going to come an end. And at some point I need to go on post whatever this chapter of my life might be. So with all that work in identity, I'm just curious, man, why is this your calling? Why are you so attracted to this work? Because it's hard work, but I as we both know, it's such meaningful work as well.
You know, what's crazy is growing up, I was told that, hey, you should be like some type of motivational speaker. And I honestly did not want to do that. I just couldn't see myself doing that. But I also knew that, like, you know, God gave me a voice and I should use it, right? But I never knew how I should really use that. So as I went through everything that I went through in college, whether it was injuries, trials and tribulations, things of that nature, I realized that I was being utilized as a vehicle to help other athletes navigate through the spaces, whether it was starting a business, you know, recovering from an injury, whether it was, you know, trying to figure out how they can graduate early, study abroad, so forth and so forth. And I had to use my voice to not only educate, but motivate those athletes and just my peers around me to be able to maximize their potential as well. And that's why I was so passionate about it. And had I not gone through the trials and tribulations that I went through, you know, at NC State and been able to, you know, be resilient and persevering through all of those trials and tribulations, I probably wouldn't be here today to be on this platform and be explaining it. So that's why I was so passionate about it, because I was able to just take my problems and turn them into opportunities, or more so not even look at them as problems, but reframe my mind and said, these are opportunities. It's not what has happened to me. It's not a situation where I have to do something. I get to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's not like everything it's not happening to you. It's happening for you. Mm-hmm. So that was the blessing. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, so I can help other people as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you're able to even recognize that. It sounds as though you're almost able to recognize it as a student that you could be a vehicle for change for others. Like, it wasn't something that you found out or realized years later or anything like that. It was something that you were cognizant of during that time. I'm curious, like, how quickly did the others around you help confirm that? Because I assume that's where it kind of, that reaffirmation came from, is like the people around you maybe?
Yeah. You know, when I was in college, kind of people looked at me as like the guy, like, oh yeah, he's going to be successful regardless if he like plays in that. We just don't know exactly what it is, you know, because I wanted to do so much. I always wanted to be looked at as more than an athlete. And I had to, you know, really step back and figure out what that one thing was, like, what am I going to do? And you may not get that answer until way later down the road, but, you know, continuously going forward and pursuing that dream and pursuing, you know, what your calling is, eventually it will definitely be revealed to you. So yes, it was confirmation from my peers. It was confirmation that I was probably getting way before I was in college, that I probably didn't listen to. I was probably too afraid to actually tap into it. Like, I think the thing that I was afraid to use the most was the thing that actually propelled me and got me to this platform right here.
Ooh, that's powerful. I like that. That's the good stuff right there.
Yeah. Like, I think that's really what it is. Like, the thing that you fear the most was, like, you know you can do it, but it's kind of holding you back. 9 times out of 10, that's something that you should just jump off the cliff and do and just see where it takes you. Not literally jump off the cliff, but just without a doubt, understand that, hey, look, if I fall, I'm going to fall forward, you know, and I'm going to get back up and be able to keep going.
Yeah, it's funny. I love how you actually use the sort of 9 times out of 10 when you have that fear within you. It's actually that sign. It's that indication from either somewhere internally or a higher power that, listen, there's a voice acting right now that you can choose to listen to because it's trying to serve you. And while 9 times out of 10 that might be the case, I would argue just from experience that only 1 time out of 10, if not 1 time out of more, people actually jump. People actually go, like, as you say, and that is, that's why this podcast exists. It's why the book I wrote exists, is because I want that number to not be 1 out of 10. I do want it to be 9 out of 10, that people actually act, not just have the voice. And so exactly. What about your work right now is facilitating that action specifically?
Well, the work that we're doing, more so in educational programming, right? Being able to redefine athlete development. That is one thing that I really want to do, is redefine what it means to develop. People may look at development as, oh, I'm sitting down and taking my next crash course, looking at another webinar. But I feel like you can help people develop through various verticals, whether it's through media content, whether how you tell a story through a movie, a TV show, a documentary, how you orchestrate your podcast, how you place stories on clothes. Like, there's so many different ways that you can help somebody develop. And I wanted to make that look great, make it look cool, and relatable and authentic.
Yeah, what's funny, I get to speak from a solid decade of experience on you. You know, our grad years are about a decade apart. And so with that being said, you know, you speaking about this notion of things happening for you as opposed to you.
Right, right.
And everything you're trying to do with your platform now and how you're trying to facilitate this awareness. And I love how you just sort of put it as redefining development too. I mean, that is so necessary. And where I'm kind of going with this is, this isn't just necessary for athletes. This is necessary for life. This is necessary for the world. So I'm curious, firstly, why does your work start with athletes? But in addition to that, what's maybe stopping you from going beyond athletes as well? So kind of a two-part question.
So I start with athletes because we are athletes ourselves, right?
Right. Right.
Like, we come from that background, and we understand that these are the people that we could speak to, you know, the best from a, I guess you could say, from a traditional athlete aspect. But I truly believe that everybody holds an inner athlete in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So to your point, I do look at everyone as an athlete. And the reason why I say that is because our philosophy, right, Law Athlete, it is the principle that achieving excellence, it goes far beyond, you know, just the training aspect, right? It's really a holistic process. So think about the physical training, the mental resilience, the emotional intelligence, the professional development, right? All of these qualities that were developed in sports can be universally applicable to your personal growth, right? Career enhancement, overcoming life's challenges, right? So we believe that, you know, everyone has a inner athlete, right? And by tapping into your true potential, you can excel not in just sports, but in all facets of life. And it's similar to career competitor, right? Like, you know, you believe that, you know, those committed to pursuing their optimal self, both professionally and personally, they can essentially make a career of competing for what they want to achieve. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to utilize athlete-driven or athlete-centric verbiage that not only attracts athlete, but everyday people, can allow you to be extremely successful, but also extremely impactful to society as a whole.
It's I didn't even pay you to say that either. I appreciate you saying that about career competitive, and that's where I find that chemistry with you. The moment we started talking the first time around, you know, that the need for what you do with the demographic that you're working towards is so much more powerful than anybody outside of that demographic sadly realizes, right? You know, right. And that's the hardest thing with the business that you're creating, in my opinion, that you have more than enough ability to overcome. Let me just be clear about that. Like, I can't wait to see the growth that comes with this. But on the front end of that right now, athletes, it's, when you go through the university system, you see them getting the free, they get the free shoes, the free shirt, the free equipment. They get good food in comparison to the regular student, whatever it might be. There's all these sort of things that people look through this microscope and say, like, man, you guys have got it good, right? But the fact of the matter is that all of that is earned. All of that's earned. It's earned by the choice of doing it during middle school, high school, when other people may choose not to. And respectful to them, they have other decisions and other pursuits in life. There's nothing wrong with that. The fact being is that athletes are a unique breed. They think, right, and they see differently to non-athletes. And it's not about a better and worse. It's just different. And so with that being said, this work that you're doing and ensuring that people recognize that, listen, because you are unique, you are different, the approach post-athletes, i.e. the approach when you graduate, in itself probably needs to be different as well. There's going to be some stuff that you have to deal with that the non-athlete does not have to deal with. And I'm just curious, like when you, because I'm even just looking at some of the work you've done recently there with NC State, you can see that there's vulnerability in the room. There's complete transparency in the room. And that's so important when you're trying to get these kind of messages through. What part of you is so well drilled and built now to deal with those parts of what you do, the difficult conversations, the vulnerability? Like, how are you showing up and ensuring that that part of what you do is being optimized on the platform that you have?
I honestly, I think the most simple answer I could say is just being my authentic self.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's just me. That's how I show up. I show up as myself. And I understand how to connect with people, you know, like really try to figure out how, when I walk into a room, reading the room first, you know, because sometimes you're dealing with a younger demographic. So how they process information or how they learn is going to be a little bit different than how I may have learned back in the day. I say back in the day, like, like it's been so long ago, but, you know, I show up as my authentic self and I'm able to read the room and learn how to truly adapt in those different environments with athletes.
Mm. And again, it's so important that they see you role modeling that. It's so important, man. Is there any chance they're ever going to have those kind of conversations between one another? They need folks that have come through what they're currently going through as you had and come back in and say, listen, it's okay to speak this way. It's okay to have conversations like this.
And, you know, aside from like just even the that aspect, what I really did, what people see right now is what I really did is I started with the why. Like I spent about 3 years like continuously fine tuning the why of the brand. And the reason why is because when you truly, and I kind of learned this from Apple, I guess you can say, instead of me going into like the what, the how and why, I went from why, how and what, because I understood that when I really focus on the why and people align with that why, no matter what we create, people would align with it. They would embrace it because it truly aligns with their why. So, you know, when we first started Law Athlete, we started with the philosophy aspect, right? I looked at all of these different laws. You have the law of attraction, you have the law of nature, gravity, the whole nine. And I was like, well, I don't know if we have one for like athletes, like the actual person, like, right? So I wanted to create that philosophy, that mindset that could be transmitted not only through athletes, but through people who want to have that same mentality, right? And then started to create products and services that make that philosophy true. Mm-hmm. Because people already live it, right? People already live it. And I just say all that to say it's like really, really hone in on your why, right? Really, really foster that. Because that will help you create an impactful brand, that will help you build trust, that will help you, like I said, build impact, that will help you build community, that will help you foster connection, you know, just the whole nine. That will help you evoke emotion out of people because your why is so aligned with theirs.
Yeah, this is
tells a story.
Yeah, this stuff you're sharing here, man, is bigger thing I'm going to be circling for people to be paying attention to on both the front end and the back end of this interview, because 3 years to fine tune your why, and I will sit here and tell you again from experience that work never stops. It should never stop. Never. You know, even if the why remains the same for some period of time, it's important to check back in consistently just to make sure you still feel good about that why. Have the goalpost move in some way, shape, or form, because to your point, and I love how you've just reordered that, this notion of if the why alters slightly, it will affect the how and the what. It will affect it enough as well when I'm the brand, when I'm delivering a service, that people will notice. People will notice that my why has shifted. And if I haven't noticed, that's not good. That's a problem. That's a problem for my brand. That's a problem for my product. That's a problem for my career, whatever it may be. So this is just such important stuff. And the benefits too. I love that you associated the benefits here with this notion of to identify your why, you start to work on your brand, the trust, the community, the emotion, the communication, all of these things. These are the benefits that come because you now know why you're showing up and doing these things. You know why you're trying to build trust. You know why you're trying to create a community, because the why is so clear. Like that, it all starts there.
And it's no different just in sports. Like, why are you doing what you're doing? Like, what's getting you up at 4:30 or 5 a.m., right? Or what's making you stay an extra 5 to 15 minutes, you know, at the field, or, you know, making sure your grades are, like, what is truly your why? And it doesn't necessarily have to be aspirations from your professional aspect, but maybe you have somebody back home, right, that you really have to provide for. Right. Like, what is your true why? Maybe you want to inspire your peers, right, to do the same thing that you're doing in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, what is your why? What is keeping you up at night? You know, that thing that you just, it's like every time you think about it, you kind of get the flutters a little bit in your stomach.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you put that part to it as well. Again, you're talking about this why from a really positive stance. Like, sometimes you hear keep me up at night almost like a stressful anxiety thing. Like, no. Yeah. This is the opposite of that. It's the excitement. It's the, you know, for me, one of the first things I do every single day is I have this sort of like innovative 30 minutes where I know when I wake up fresh out of sleep, my mind is just so ready to go with ideas towards career competitor, the business, the podcast, all of these things, how I can go about spreading that message. And I give myself this 30 minutes just to kind of have fun. And put some stuff out on paper, put some stuff out on my computer, and feel good about how I'm moving this whole thing forwards. Even if nothing comes from that 30 minutes, it's innovative energy that is built from a why that is so consistent each and every day. And I hear that in abundance from you, brother, and I love all of it. And to kind of put you on the spot a little bit, I'd love to just learn now, for you, the athlete, you, the competitor that I know you are each and every day, how are you sort of answering that part of your personality daily now, because you're not putting the pads on anymore. You're not hitting another guy anymore, anything like that.
No.
But there's still competing going on. I know it's going on. So what does that look like on a day-to-day basis for you now?
Well, competing, I mean, it's competition in business, I guess you could say, right? It's competition in business. I guess it's more chess playing than anything. but my willingness to learn is like top notch, right? Back in the day, it was not. I will say that I was a little hard headed, and I could just be real with you on that one. But my willingness to learn constantly is what's always allowing. It's not even just learning, right? Because knowledge without action is just entertainment, right? And honestly, too much knowledge can keep you paralyzed where you do nothing because you just know too much. Right. So, but I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly, you know, implementing different things that allows me to be not only a better businessman, but a person. Right. And you opening up your mind to those new ideas and new thoughts and new ways of thinking can allow you to truly be successful, whatever success is to you.
Mm. It's a competitive edge. That notion of just the willingness to learn, that's your competitive edge is what I'm hearing. Even if it's even if it doesn't mean that your business is beating that other business that also exists in a similar industry right now, it kind of is irrelevant. It's about you focusing on you staying in your lane and that competitive edge being that willingness to learn. And that's going to serve you. And never apologize either for being hot-headed at a younger age. I think we all were. That's the whole point of youth, right? We're supposed to be that at some point. We learn from those mistakes. It's all good. But listen, I want to use some of the last few minutes of this conversation just to really talk about the future now, and more so from your personal standpoint. Like, what is Law of Athlete going to be doing for you, the individual? Like, what do you want it to do? How far do you want to go with this? You know, just talk to us a little bit about some of those future goals, those ambitions that you feel the potential for this, and also just your own individual potential. What does that maybe look like down the road?
You know, somebody actually asked me a similar question. They said, Deontay, how do you know when you won, I guess you could say?
Sure.
And I said, the moment that people talk about Law of Athlete the same way they talk about the Law of Attraction, that's when I know.
Wow. That's big. That's big. That's big. And tell me, like, I love that. I mean, you know, the moment you mention huge ambition, you've got my abundant attention. There's no doubt about it. But when you talk about it through this lens of what you're trying to do to redefine what development means, how far do we still have to go? Like, how far do we still have to go with that?
To be honest, I don't even know if I'm the right person to answer that question right now, considering how new I am in this, right? Yeah. Like, I'm, you know, that's just the humility in me, I guess, talking, mm-hmm. right? I really don't know how far we have to go, but I do know that however far it is, I'm definitely going to make sure I make an impact in it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. How do you plan to do that? Like, give us some of your strategy, I guess.
Okay. So how do I plan to do that? What I'm doing right now with educational programming, you know, being able to inspire athletes, provide them new ways of thinking, provide them educational resources and opportunities, right, for them to not only be successful within sports, but also be successful beyond that, right? Being able to inspire the world from empower and educate and entertain the world from a media space, whether that is through documentaries, whether that is through TV shows, whether that is through movies, and then any philanthropic activities that we would like to do as well. Partnerships with some of the biggest sports brands in the world to help expand, you know, redefining what, you know, athlete development is. So that's some of our plans on how to do that.
I love it. I love it, man. And what I'm hearing so much of is there's no avenue that you're not willing to go down to bring this to fruition, to make law of an athlete something that is known as law of attraction, you know, like that. Yeah. Is a huge goal, lofty goal, but at the same time, if you're open to all avenues of how you can actually pursue that goal, the likelihood of you achieving it is immediately greater, you know?
And, yeah.
Where's the, you know, just as we bring this to a close now, where is it you feel as though you still have huge, you know, areas to learn? Because it's a question that I ask myself all the time as a business owner, and I'm humbled. Yeah. I'm humbled constantly by just how much I'm able to resource how I can answer that question. But I'm just curious for you, when you look at maybe some of these things that you said it yourself, you're such a willing learner. What is it you're learning that you still have to learn still when it comes to this business and everything that comes with it?
To be very adaptive, to understand like when to pivot, to, you know, like, okay, who do you listen to, right? Mm. Like, truly, who do you listen to? And also continuously mastering the basics, right? Mm. The basics in marketing, the basics in finance, the basics in human psychology, the basics in sales, you know, mastering those basics because, you know, there's so many different things that we can do as entrepreneurs, but I really feel like just mastering those basics will allow you to continuously be 1% better every day. Like the technical work, the foundational pieces to what makes your brand, what makes your business a business. It's no different in sports, right? Like mm-hmm. they always talk about technique, right? Like you make sure your technique is fundamentally sound, because when things get hard, things get tough, you get tired, right? That's when your fundamentals, that's when your technique is going to have to really show up, because if it doesn't, you risk getting hurt. No mm-hmm. different in business, right? So finding myself continuously learning that, continuously just honing in on that, not only to be the best athlete or person or businessman, you know, just overall.
What might be an example of within your, you know, your college football career, where maybe that lesson was learned in a humbling way, let's say, in terms of just like, I love that example of sport of just technique and just, you know, having that. That was the one thing technique always did to you as an athlete, is whenever you thought you figured out and mastered one part of it, a coach came in and was just like, now that you've mastered that, here's five other things that I want you to learn. And you're just like, I thought I had it all figured out. And you're telling me that was just yet another step in the process of learning this technique. And it was just this constantly right. humbling experience. Like, what might an example of that be from when you were playing football with State?
Goodness gracious. I'm pretty sure it was plenty. let me see. Technique. It's no, like, okay, so I played defensive end. Mm-hmm. I played defensive end. So the lowest man wins. They always talk about like the lowest man wins, and getting your hands inside of the chest, right? And it was a time where I wasn't low, standing at 6'5" tall, okay? Mm-hmm. And my hands was out, and the O-lineman literally put me on my back, okay? Yeah. And that's because I didn't do the fundamentals that was needed in order to at least stalemate them, you know, because we were all around the same strength. So it wasn't going to be a sense of strength. It was more so like technique. You know, his technique and his fundamentals was way better than mine at that particular rep.
I'm so glad that story pulled out a really powerful metaphor, which was just that notion of, you know, when you think about entrepreneurship and you think about business, and so many of our listeners, career motivated, ambitious individuals, Deontay just provided you with an awesome metaphor that you need to hold on to, is that your strengths are probably the same strengths as so many other people doing what it is you do. How you utilize those strengths, however, that's the key. That's the difference. And that's what that story just embodies in abundance, is this notion of two guys, similar strength, and yet one's technique is better than the other, and one beats the other. And this doesn't necessarily have to be a me versus you type of mindset. It's more just about, if you're looking to accomplish what you want to accomplish in life, understand that there are hundreds upon thousands upon probably millions that have the same strengths that you have. The willingness to utilize those strengths the right way, or the right way for you, those are the game-changing things that you can do. And I appreciate that story. I appreciate everything you brought to this, man. This was totally worth the wait. I'm so excited we got to do this. Before I let you go, though, I don't want you to go anywhere without telling people where we can learn more about Law of Athlete, yourself, anything you think we need to know.
Well, everything is at Law Athlete. Mm-hmm. So if you want to follow any of the social channels, it's at Law Athlete website, www.lawathlete.com. And anything about me is probably on there as well. I'm super thankful to be on this platform. You're doing amazing things, Steve. It's really, really great to have someone from the same alma mater just doing similar work as well. So I just thank you for the platform that you provide. I thank you for educating people in a really, really cool way, while also integrating sports, man. You're doing a phenomenal job. And I can't wait to see what things is like for you as well.
Man, I appreciate that. Right back at you. And this won't be the last time that we speak. I know we'll be speaking many more times down the road, and hopefully sometime in person down the road at a maybe like an alumni function or something like that. Who knows? Who knows where this relationship will go? But brother, just know that I appreciate you. Appreciate the time. Thanks again for coming on, and just the best of luck with everything moving forward, man.
Appreciate you so much, my man. Likewise.
Always such a good time to have former athletes coming on, and us being able to do on this show what we started out doing almost 6 years ago by having these former athletes come on and just speak to the way in which they're using the characteristics that serve them so well as athletes in their respective fields today. The show has evolved over time, but I love being able to go back to these types of conversations. And Deontay just left us with such powerful insights, so many powerful insights, but the one, as I mentioned within the interview, I mentioned it in the introduction too, but this notion of starting with the why. And when you think about why you would do that, well, Deontay gave you a whole bunch of reasons. Building that brand, having that trust, creating that community, understanding emotions, all of these things. That why leads to the how, which leads to the what. If you're struggling with what you're doing, go all the way back to your why. If there's anything you take from this, take that. So one more thank you from me for Deontay joining us. And thank you to you, of course, as always, for joining us. If this is the first time that you've listened into Career Competitor, don't forget to subscribe on your way out. Leave a review if you thought this was as great as both Deontay and I thought it was. And in addition to that, make sure you are sharing this episode with anyone that you know within your world. There's got to be at least one could benefit from this content. Someone that you know needs to hear this message of why and the many other reasons that Deontay brought to us today. So with all that being said, as always, folks, best of luck with anything and everything that you've got going on within your world. And I look forward to doing this again with you very soon. Bye for now.